with Jesus. Last week we looked at the man who was born blind, and Jesus' disciples asked him, is he blind because of his own sin or because of the sin of his parents? And Jesus rightly pointed them that this was done for the glory of God. And so ultimately we looked at that everything in our lives, whether it is a sickness, a struggle, a trial, is ultimately for the glory of God. And that we're to be looking for opportunities to be able to point people to that glory. And that's not always easy to do, right? But it is something that as we put our faith in Jesus, we can trust that he has a plan. And in the midst of his plan is going to be better than ours, and so we can look to him. Today we will look at another encounter. This one by Jesus as he is headed actually to Jerusalem, where he'll ultimately be arrested, nailed to a cross, die to fulfill the promise of the whole reason why he came, and that is to seek and to save the lost. And so today, a very powerful encounter, and one of the things I want you to see is he's going to encounter a couple of ladies, and the way that he responds to these ladies is very different. Though they came to him with the same, almost the exact same wording, at least in Scripture, what we have here is the exact same. If only you would have been here, our brother would not have died. And so Jesus encounters them because they are very different as well. And that should bring hope to us, and you'll see as we dive in, because we are different. There's not one of us in here that are just like the other. And I think that that is amazing. Diversity in our giftedness, in our makeup, and the way that we respond to things. The needs that we have are all diverse and unique. And it's beautiful of how he molds us together as a part of the body of Christ that we can encourage and edify and lift up one another. And so today, as we dive in, my prayer is that you'll see that. And hopefully we'll walk away from here believing that whatever I encounter, I can run to Jesus and know that he will respond to me at just in a way that I need in that moment. Amen? Before we dive into Scripture, there are a couple of things I think it'll be helpful for us to understand. Here, Jesus is getting ready to perform a miracle, and this one in raising someone from the dead is pretty amazing. His last miracle before he goes and is arrested, you can imagine, does so much to his people. That you think of the followers and how they would have emboldened their faith in him, and even they would have realized that he is who he said that he was. We see that it definitely would have strengthened their faith. It also forced the religious leaders to accelerate their plans to put him to death. They will even say in the passage that we'll read today is that we can't let this guy continue because then everyone will believe him. And so they had to do something about it. We see a reality, and there are several realities that I want to see. And the first one I don't mean to say, but I can't say other than just say it, and that is that every one of us is going to die. And welcome to First Baptist Skytook, right? One out of one is going to, like, all of us are going to breathe our last breath at some point, and so death is a reality. And I say that not in any way to be morbid, just to realize it is a reality. And unless he returns, and what a great promise that he has given us that one day he will return. But I just want to say there should be a reality and an urgency in our lives because all of us are going to breathe our last breath. There will be two resurrections. There is a resurrection to life for believers or to judgment. And I think that that's important for us to realize. There are two eternal destinations. One, to heaven, where we'll have paradise with God, or there will be hell, which is a punishment without God, separated from God. And it's important for us to realize that. As Scott mentioned a while ago, there is only one way in which salvation can come. And that seems very even arrogant to say, but when you think about a God who didn't have to make a way for salvation at all, and yet he has made a way, and he has told us that way, it's not a secret, and it is good news, and he has actually commissioned us, sent us really out into this world to tell others that they also can know and also be saved and forgiven. and that is through Jesus Christ, Him coming and literally paying the price that we deserve. All of us are sinners. That's pretty easy to see. We can see the brokenness of our world, and we deserve the wages of our sin is death, but God has made a way. He sent Jesus. He loves you, and He loves me, and He sent Jesus to die for us. And so, as we approach this, you'll see the hope that is spelled out clearly in Jesus in His response to the sisters. There's another thing that I think it's just important for us to realize is, culturally speaking, when a funeral was to take place, there would have been at least a week of mourning, a week of grief, of wailing, of letting emotions, owning the loss that has just taken place. And that's very different from our culture. Our culture, when someone dies, yes, there is that immediate, especially if it's, unplanned or you didn't know about it. There's that immediate loss and brokenness. But for whatever reason, in our culture, we don't necessarily give people time to grieve. I hear all the time as a pastor, I don't really feel like I've been able to grieve. Why? Because life is so busy and we just move on to the next thing. And so many times we find ourselves, and I so many times as I walk with families and try to walk, like, they'll even apologize when there's even just the slightest bit of emotions. Well, I'm sorry, like you have to apologize for grief, like you've just lost somebody. And so I just, in the greatest of encouragement, I want to tell you, if you've lost someone, grieve. Let cry out to the Lord. And we'll see today, though, as we dive in, there's hope in the midst of that. So we don't mourn as those who have no hope, but there still should be a way in which you handle and walk through the loss of someone in your life. I think that sometimes, I know in my family, we've even had times where someone would pass away and there wouldn't be any, no funeral at all. I remember when my grandpa passed away, I was talking to my mom, my family, I was like, well, when's the funeral? And they're like, well, they didn't want one. And I just lovingly tried to help my family to realize, like, well, they're not here and it's not for them. You know, yes, we're going to celebrate their life, but it's for us to be able to walk through and to handle that and to be able to share with one another and come alongside one another. And, you know, sometimes funerals are even separated from the time of loss, whether it's a week or 2 weeks, sometimes even months later. COVID was such a weird time in the way of grieving, wasn't it? Where there was so much of a gap that from when sometimes we'd lose somebody. And so I say all of this just to say, culturally speaking, that as these sisters are dealing with, there was an immediate burial, so they immediately placed them in the tomb, and there was a time for grief. The community came around them, loved them. And that's one of the things that I love about our faith family here is you guys are so good about coming alongside and loving one another through these times. And so it's needed. And what a beautiful picture of how we are to be the body together. So that brings us to where we're at today. John chapter 11, if you don't mind, if you would like to honor God's word and stand with us, if you'd like to remain seated, you definitely can do that. But we will just want to honor God's word and realize and be reminded this is His word, not mine. And so we'll start reading in verse 17. Now when Jesus came, He found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Jesus had heard about His friend Lazarus had been sick, and He delayed in coming. And so now by the time He gets there, He's already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met Him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to Him, "Well, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. And when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Father, we thank you for your word. We just ask, Lord, you would speak to our hearts. We pray that today we walk out of here knowing, believing that you have a plan and it's better than ours. And so, God, I pray that we will, in all situations, seek to bring you glory as we honor you and obey you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. As you can see, much to get through. And first thing I want you to see is that genuine faith runs to Jesus. Here, genuine faith of these sisters. And I want you to see that they didn't come and hold back. They came and cried out, "If you would have been here," right? In other words, they know, they have seen. This is not their first encounter with Jesus. They would have known and heard all that he has done. And even people around, right? They were like, "Well, this guy healed the blind man. Could he not have kept this guy from dying?" Like, everyone's accusing Jesus of, "Why didn't you come sooner?" And the sisters have that same heart, and they approach him with this question, "If only you would have been here." And Jesus, I want you to see how he responds. I think that we also see, as Martha comes and approaches him, Martha comes even knowing that he has power. He says, "I know," this is verse 22, "but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Like, she comes and she's got this bold, "If only you would have been here." But she's like, "But I know that whatever you ask, God will do." So she's already starting to recognize and has in her mind, this is the Messiah. I know that. But there's still this some sort of, "Why weren't you here?" And so genuine faith runs to Jesus. Both of them. Both of them reacted. They ran. But Jesus knows you perfectly is the second thing I want you to see. He knows you. He knows these ladies, and he knew what they needed in this moment. Look at the difference. Martha came, "If only you would have been here, my brother would not have died." And how did he respond? Well, he tackled her, or at least responded with theologically, right? "Well, your brother will rise." "Well, I know he'll rise in the resurrection." And Jesus gives her this truth. And what this truth does is it grounds her. Like, she's struggling in this moment, and he helps her to see who he is. "I am the resurrection," verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. This is the truth that she needed to know. Your brother has not died. Like, he's gone on. Have you not realized that? Like, he's given his last breath here, but he has stood in the very presence of God. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asks her, do you believe this? This is the response to Martha. Now, Martha, we know from Luke chapter 10, where the sisters encounter Jesus. They have him in their home. And in Luke chapter 10, Martha is serving. She's distracted with all of the things in the house as the Messiah or this prophet. She didn't really maybe know at this time, but this great man who's performed all these miracles is in her house, and she's trying to get everything together to serve. And she's kind of getting upset because her sister, Mary, this same Mary, is sitting at his feet listening, not doing anything. She comes to Jesus. She says, "What? Are you just going to let her sit here? Do you not see all that? I'm trying to do this on my own. Sometimes we get like that. I'm doing everything, right? Do you not see what I'm doing? Here's Jesus' response. Martha, Martha. Martha, 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 right? You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary is here at my feet, and she is soaking in every word of my teaching. Don't miss it, Mary. Don't miss it. And so here, Mary runs to Jesus, and her, as she comes, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus chooses with her, because he knows her, he knows that that's what she needs, he chooses to ground her with truth. Martha, everyone who believes in me, even though they die, they will continue to live. Your brother's not dead. Everyone who believes in me, lives and believes in me, like they will never die. Martha, calm yourself. He didn't respond that way, though, to Mary. Much different. And so I want to tell you, you're here. Maybe you're here today. Maybe with whatever's going on in life, maybe there's grief. Maybe there's disappointment. Maybe there's unanswered prayer. Maybe there's just questions. Questions about why. Why did this happen? Why does this keep happening to me? Well, how come nothing ever seems to go right? No stability ever comes? Whatever it is, I want you to know that just like Martha did, run to Jesus. Be honest with him. Ask the questions. Tell him your feelings. Tell him your thoughts. And then be ready to listen. Sometimes it will be truth that will ground you. But then now let's look at Mary. Mary, going back to Luke chapter 10, right? It was Mary who, instead of being busy and distracted by all of the things to do, here she is soaking up every word from the mouth of Jesus. Now Mary, here, when Martha goes back and tells her that he has come, the teacher has come, she runs. And what does she do? She falls at his feet again. And this time, she falls at his feet, still honest, still genuine, and says, if only you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Same thing that Martha said. But Jesus responded very different. Why? He knows her. He knows what she needs. He didn't preach a sermon to her. That's not what Mary needed in this moment. What did Mary need? No, Mary needed something different. She fell to his feet. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he says, where have you laid him? Jesus wept. Think about this. We know he's getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead. The same God who has the power to raise the dead is the same God who weeps with those who weep. Man, is that not beautiful? That whatever it is you're going through, that we have a God who comes to us and is with us. I remember I was a youth pastor, and my pastor, who I loved dearly, had called me, and he says, hey, there's someone in our church who has just passed away. The police and ambulance are over at their house right now. And I remember hopping into his truck with him, and we're heading over there, and I'm nervous. And I just asked him, I said, Pastor, what do you say to people? Like, I'm envisioning all the family around this body, lifeless body, and I'm thinking, what am I going to tell them? Have you ever felt that before? Like, what do you say? And here's what I think that so many times we don't know what to say, and so sometimes we just say whatever comes to our mind, and that's not always good because we're like, well, how you doing, brother? Well, I just, you know, that's not good. How do you think I'm doing, right? I mean, that's what, and so we don't know what to say, and so we just default to not saying anything, which also isn't good. Because then people are like, well, no one came, no one checked on me, and so. But he said something to me in that moment that I'll never forget and has brought me so much freedom. He said, well, one thing I've learned is that they will never remember what I say, but they will always remember that I was there. And so I want to tell you, brother or sister, when you go into a situation you don't want to say, don't say anything. Love them. Look them in the eye and just tell them, I love you. I'm here with you. What do you need? Let's do this together. Sometimes it means that you pray for them and you pray with them and over them. Sometimes it means you just weep with them. Don't say anything. Other times, it means that you go with them. Sometimes you just are their strength, but you're still just there. Sometimes they'll have things to say, and you know what you do? You just listen and you say, I'm so sorry. But it brought me so much freedom. And here, Jesus, with Mary, you know what he is? He's with her, and he's weeping with her, and he's holding her. I just envision him there embracing and saying, it's going to be okay. Where's he at? And so then they go. What does he do? Take him to the tomb. And he says, take away the stone. Now, Martha, the servant, is like, whoa, wait. Like, it's been 4 days. They didn't embalm at this time. They immediately put him in the tomb. Like, it's been 4 days. And this is different. This isn't the first time Jesus rose someone from the dead or resurrected, but they had just died. This is different. He's been in the tomb now 4 days. And Martha even says, like, Lord, by this time, there's going to be an odor. And we don't have to go into the details of how cells break down and odor cycle, but I mean, like, very true. And if you read the King James here, it's, he stinketh, right? That's for real. And so this is the reality. And you know what? Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he prayed. And ultimately he said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. And I want you to see, not only does he know you perfectly, but everything is for the glory of God. How can loss and death and disease or cancer, or we prayed for a member of our church this morning who's going to have bypass surgery tomorrow, triple bypass, open heart surgery. How can all of that be for the glory of God? And I want you to see that, yes, Jesus was here and Lazarus rose from the dead, obviously to the glory of God. But I want to tell you that anything and everything that you encounter in life can be for the glory of God if and when you walk through it with him. Believe that he is there. He sent his spirit to be the comforter, to be the one that brings about a peace that surpasses all understanding. I mean, I love as Martha responded to the Lord. Initially, she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. There is a hope that rises up in us that when we go through situations, we don't mourn as those who have no hope, but instead we walk through them, bringing glory and honor to a God who is right there with us and is on the throne. Amen? I mean, when you have some sort of cancer diagnosis or lose someone close to you or walk through that, I want you to know, the greatest encouragement that you and I can ever have is to know that we have a God who is on the throne and who is right there with us. And so, trust him. Look to him. Martha's confession points to who Jesus is. Mary's tears draw out his compassion. Your grief, your questions, your waiting, your wondering, all of those things will bring and will just set things in motion to bring about the glory of God. Trust him. Look to him. And I would say, even as we go on, we'll see that even in the opposition, we'll see that God continues to gain glory. We'll see that the religious leaders in verse 45, the Pharisees start to talk, and they start to say, what are we going to do with this guy? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. They're saying, listen, if we let him continue to go, this whole thing's getting ready to go up. But one of them, Caiaphas, he's the high priest, he says, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. He did not say this on his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. So opposition rises up against Jesus. And the very wicked, blasphemous high priest that is speaking against Jesus actually proclaims a prophecy that one man would die for the nation, that one would come and that he would die as the substitution for your death. The wages of sin is death. Someone has to die. Jesus came and died for you. And that is proclaimed by a wicked, blasphemous high priest who's actually in opposition of him. And yet God gains glory even in that. Can you see that? Isn't that beautiful? And you and I, we too, as we think about the response, we need to understand that we too should respond with hope and faith, even in opposition. We see Mary. Look at chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany. He had left for a little bit. Now he came back, and where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha, what'd she do? She served. Still Martha, right? Still serving. And Lazarus was one reclining at the table, but where was Mary? Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Here, Mary, still at the feet of Jesus. She was at his feet, learning, listening to every word, ran, fell to his feet, weeping the loss of her brother, and now at his feet, anointing his feet, giving the greatest of devotion to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And here he defended her. One of the disciples, Judas, who would betray him, was like, she could have sold this for a year's wages and given it to the poor. And Jesus defended her. And he says, no. He says, leave her alone. Let her do it. And I want you to see that even at great cost, both Martha and Mary, the religious leaders, had already decided that they're going to kill Jesus. We see later on in chapter 12, verses 9 and following, that they want to kill Lazarus because the greatest evidence of someone rising from the dead is that person. And he's going around sharing with people about, is it true, were you dead? Yep, 4 days, man, I stunketh. And here I am, right? I mean, and people are starting to believe. They're wanting to kill him now. We saw that even last week when Jesus had healed the blind man, that the parents of the blind man would have been kicked out of the synagogue even for saying that Jesus was the Christ. So with great cost, here these ladies are welcoming Jesus into their home, potentially to be arrested, maybe even killed, at the least kicked out of the synagogue, and yet here they are, serving him, bringing him glory and honor, worshiping him at his feet, anointing him with great devotion. And I want you to know that for you and for me, following Jesus may come at a great cost. It may come at a great cost where there, he sends you out and you've got to sell everything and go. Whether it's of great cost, of opposition, where your family or friends don't understand. One of the things about an eighth grader that I want to encourage you guys with who were just baptized is, like, they go into school, right? It's not going to be the way of this world or culture that they live for Jesus. It's going to require them to make a choice, and it may cost you guys. But the same is true for us. It may cost you. And like Martha and Mary, it's got to mean something to you. Otherwise, as soon as trouble comes, you'll turn. And so today, in the way of application, what is God leading you to do? The testimony of the blind man last week was, I was blind, now I can see. Now here Lazarus is proclaiming his testimony. I was dead, but now I'm alive. And the same is true for us. We were all dead spiritually until one day we encountered Jesus and he made us alive. Amen. Alive. And not just alive until we die, but no, alive forever. If we live believing in him, we will never die. That is the hope and the promise of Jesus. Do you know him? Have you trusted in him? Let me remind you that you and I are born separated from God in this world. We have all sinned. The wages of that sin, whether we've lied or stolen, looked upon someone with lust, profane the very name of our God, I want you to know we will stand before him one day guilty. And yet he loves you and has made a way. And that way is by trusting and putting your faith in Jesus. And you can know him today. You too can trust him. And so today, will you bring your honest feelings, questions to Jesus? Will you come to him? Run to him, believing that he has a plan. Will you trust God to work for his glory? That whatever hard time, trial, struggle, loss, whatever it is, knowing that he is going to gain glory out of that moment, praise him even in the midst of it. Will you serve him and worship him even at great cost? Last thing I want you to see. Will you put your hope and your faith in Jesus today? Will you say yes? Yes, I will follow you. Yes, I will believe in you. Yes, I will go and do whatever you want me to do. Will you surrender your life to Jesus? Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we want to thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this powerful story and even the example of how you come to us just the way that we are. And that, Lord, you speak to our hearts, you comfort us, you ground us with your truth. And I pray that today, Lord, you would do that in our lives as well. And so, God, I pray that as some are here who maybe have never trusted in you, I pray that in this moment, they know and can sense that you are speaking to their heart, that you are drawing them. And God, I pray that they would not let anything distract them or stand in their way from saying yes to you. And so God, we ask that you would move in this time. Speak to our hearts. Help us to respond to your truth in a way that brings you honor and glory. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.